Good singing this morning. There's power in the name of Jesus Christ. Amen? There you go. All right. Continuing on, talking about the prophecies, diaries, talking about the prophecies in the Old Testament that lead into Christ. And I am just encouraged by the fact that so much of Scripture has been fulfilled. And we are on this end of it, looking back, and we can see all these pieces have fallen into place. And the Bible talks about a little bit more to go. And how much should we be encouraged to hang on, right? If the prophets could not understand it all, but they trusted, how much more so should we? So we're kind of using this Matthew 13 as a spring off. It says, but blessed are your eyes, for they see, and your ears, for they hear. For assuredly I say to you that many prophets and righteous men desire to see what you see and did not see it, and hear what you hear and did not hear it. What a privilege we do have to have these prophecies laid out before us, to encourage us. As so many have waited for so long for all these things, it did not give up hope. So these things are written that we can be encouraged, and hopefully as we come into this season. Talk about the Advent season, right? The word Advent means coming or arrival. And they talk about when Christ came. And he came the first time. We're talking about Christ's second advent. He is coming again. I hope you believe that. Do you believe the Lord is coming back again? Amen. And all that waiting that we're doing, it will be worth it all. It will be worth it all when he will set all things straight. We stand before the Lord. Well, pull this verse out of Malachi. And I want to be truthful this morning, because the other ones we talk about prophecies into Christ and his birth, more Christmassy. This one, I'm going to kind of shoehorn in. We're going to see the fulfillment of this is actually with John the Baptist. But like I said, a little bit of patience here. I think it applies. Malachi chapter 3, this is the last book of the Bible. And we talked about how the prophecies we looked at last week, how from Daniel to the time of the temple being built until the end when Jerusalem was all set, until the Messiah, right? We had that time frame. I actually had a handout for you. That there is that time where we talk about the prophets were silent. All that was to be accomplished was already said. The prophecies were all laid out. And then comes the waiting. I don't know at your house, but have you ever had company come over? You know? And you've been cleaning up, getting things all set. Everything's all in place, right? Maybe you're having them over for dinner. Everything's cooking. Everything's all. And then everything's all done, but the waiting. Are they going to be there on time? Are they going to show up early? Right? No, John, you can't put your finger in the frosting of the cake. Wait! And we get into that waiting mode, and the prophets were that. And for 400 years, between Malachi and Matthew, there was silence. But Malachi promises this, behold, I will send my messenger, and he will prepare the way before me. And the Lord whom you seek will suddenly come to this temple, even the messenger of the covenant, in whom you delight. Behold, he is coming, says the Lord of hosts. The last promises we have in the Old Testament is wait, he's coming. And I will send my messenger to prepare the way. And this morning I want to talk about this idea of preparing the way, of being prepared, and not be caught off guard. You know, talking about Christmas and being ready. I think everything is purchased. I have a few things on Amazon that I'm waiting for shipping. Amazon's a wonderful thing. Click, click, click. And now you talk about waiting. Right? How many of you guys have a package you're waiting for it to show up at your house? Okay. You know what I'm talking about, right? So there's something I have for my wife. that was supposed to be here last week. I got notice that it was supposed to be here yesterday. Then I got notice that, no, it's still on time for last week. And then now it's open-ended, and they gave me a three-date window next week. So I don't know what they're doing with this thing. It's ping-ponging all over the place. My prayer is it does get here before Christmas, because otherwise I will give a picture of the item to my wife and tell her to wait for the... But I had it ordered early enough. It's supposed to be here. And all that anticipation of being prepared. And I tried to be prepared. I really did. I had it all set early, and it's not my fault. When we talk about the Lord's coming and being prepared, it's interesting because this ultimately was fulfillment of John the Baptist. In Mark chapter 1, it says, in the beginning of the gospel of Jesus Christ, the Son of God, it was written in the prophets, this is that passage, behold, I send my messenger before your face, and he will prepare your way before you. The voice of one crying in the wilderness, prepare the way of the Lord, make his way straight. And it says, John came baptizing in the wilderness and preaching baptism for repentance and for the remissions of sin. And ultimately, it was John the Baptist who came to prepare the way for Jesus' ministry. But we already looked at some passages that were telling people to prepare for the Lord's coming. And he didn't come as a 30-year-old. He came as a babe. They were supposed to be waiting. And yet we're told in John, I think this is one of the saddest passages of Scripture. Talking about Jesus Christ, John chapter 1 says he came to his own and his own did not receive him. Imagine all that waiting, all that anticipation. And finally when Jesus came, they didn't want him. All that hope, all that anticipation. Talk about the gift that you want to return. You know, you guys know the routine, right? You do not go to the post office for a week after Christmas because everyone's returning things. Definitely don't go to Walmart because the return line is longer than any other line in the place because everyone is unhappy with the gift they got. The gift that God gave into this world, the world says we don't want it. But as many as receive him, to them he gave the right to become the children of God, to those who believe in his name. And what a blessing that is. That we're welcome into his family. You know, I find it interesting, I had an opportunity several years ago to visit someone who was dying in the hospital. And this person had been to church on and off, he told me, and he knew about Jesus, but had never made a personal decision for him. And we were sitting here talking to him, and he goes, I know I'm going to die within the next couple of days. I said, would you like to accept Christ? And he looked at me and he goes, no. And I'm like, you're dying. Let me show you the truth. You're going to stand before the Lord, and there's a heaven and there's a hell. There's an accounting for your sin. Jesus paid for all of that. If you would just accept him. And for a second time he said, nah. I don't know about you, but I'm just like, I did. I asked him, I said, why not? What have you got to lose? What have you got to lose? Won't you accept Christ? He goes, no, I'll take my chances. To have that opportunity to hear the gospel, to share with it, and reject it, He came into his own received him not. And we live in a world that is constantly rejecting the Lord. We're seeing that in everyday life, in the morality of our country. We're seeing that in church attendance everywhere. We're seeing it in our laws, what's being taught to our children. We are getting further and further away from God. He came to his own received him not. And I find it interesting because this time of year is, you know, all the bells and whistles are out, literally and figuratively. Right? You go in every store and they're playing Christmas music and talking about Christ the Savior is born. See major scenes. Now, it's true, it's interesting how things have changed. We went to the Bucksport parade last night. Stood out there. It was cold. Told my wife, I said, can't we just, you know, stay home? She's like, no, this is fun. Building memories. It was fun. It was the best thing I have ever done. But we got out there and because you guys, you know, I'm the Grinch. Well, speaking of which, actually, I found it interesting because in the parade, did anyone else go? Was anyone out there freezing? Oh, see, we were the only ones. But I found it interesting. I counted how many Grinches there were. There was 8 Grinches in the parade this year. I think I saw like one Santa. I didn't see a single manger scene. And I'm not going to judge the spirituality of Bucksport off a parade and all that. And a lady did throw some candy bars at me, or to me. But I found that interesting that our society celebrates the Grinch over. But I find this time of year that you can invite people to church. You know, and a great opportunity. We have the carols in the round tomorrow. Invite people to church, and people who probably would never come to this church or anything else are open to coming and hearing this time of year. I pray you really use that as an opportunity, because people are more open of talking about Jesus because he came at Christmas, right? So use that as an opportunity. You know, Christmas cards, you know, put a little verse in there, you know, use that. My wife, I remember early on in our marriage, she goes, I want to be sort of the crazy religious aunt. And I want to make sure that I send out cards that have Jesus on it. I want to be that one that makes a difference in all that. And this time of year, people are receptive of that. But how quickly we turn the page. Right? We talk about this baby Jesus that came, and then what? And the world just moves on and returns their gifts and joins the gym in January, and we've kind of just moved off on all of those things about truly God came into this world for a purpose and for a cause. He came to seek and save those who were lost. He came to live a sinless life that he may die, be a sacrifice for us. And how quickly the world has no problem with saying joy to the world and turning the page and then forgetting about it. He came to his own received him not. So I got some quick points here I just want to go through. Talk about being ready for the Lord's coming. Notice what it says here in Luke. It says, now they were in the same country, shepherds living out in the field, keeping watch over their flocks by night. And behold, an angel of the Lord stood before them, and the glory of the Lord shone around them, and they were greatly afraid. Then the angel said to them, do not be afraid, for behold, I bring you good tidings of great joy, which shall be to all people. For is born to you this day in the city of David a Savior, who is Christ the Lord. Come the idea of being busy. Right? There's a lot of people who don't want to receive the Lord, who don't want to welcome the Lord into their life because they're just busy. They're doing so many other things. The shepherds were busy shepherding. What do we expect them to do out on the hill? They were watching. They were busy. Later on in Jesus' ministry, you have Mary and Martha, two sisters, and Jesus had come to visit, and Mary had sat down at Jesus' feet to hear him talk, to teach, and Martha was busy getting things ready and cleaning and all those things, and Jesus kind of rebukes her, not kind of, he actually does rebuke her. He says here in verse 41, it says, Jesus answered and said to her, Martha, Martha, you are worried and troubled about many things. But one thing is needed, and Mary has chosen that good part, which will not be taken away from her. I think it's a good contrast in our life. There's a lot of people who are busy doing a lot of things. Our society, if you want something to do, you can find something to do, right? Boredom is not one of the things we should suffer from. I remember back when we were doing Good News Club, we were going to the schools, and Paul was talking to some of the kids. And he was talking about when he was a kid. And I think it was internet. There was no internet. And they're like, how did you watch Netflix? He's like, there was no Netflix. And they're like, oh! Right? I mean, they were just, wow! There was life way back then in the Flintstone land. But we were busy and consumed. Always something to go to. Always something to run to. And sometimes we're just too busy for the Lord. Because you know how it goes. You ever invited someone to church on Sunday morning and they go, oh, I would like to, but I'm too busy. Right? I got other things going on. Thankful you took the time this morning to come. But we get so busy. We're too busy for the Lord. And Mary had chosen the better part. To stop. And be prepared for the Lord and what he has to teach us. To work in us. To change us. Timothy takes a difference. Paul takes a difference spin with Timothy here. But it's the same principle. Right? We go from house cleaning and all that things to be done. But he talks about the idea of a soldier. 2 Timothy chapter 2, verse 4 says that no one engages in warfare, entangles himself with the affairs of this life, that he may please him who enlisted him as a soldier. The soldier's job is to go defend his country. But it can be wrapped up in so many other different things. This verse really kind of popped up. I remember when we were in Bible school, and this is upstate New York, and let's see, this would have been, right around 90? I'm looking at my wife. She's not looking at me. Right around 90? Mark, was that Iraq in the 90s? Early 90s, late 80s? The first Gulf War. Because I remember watching the news, and there's a family on there where the husband and wife had both joined the military, and they were getting called up, and they had two little children. And the story was they wanted to get out of being called into active duty because they had a child. And they thought it was unfair. They joined the military so they would pay for school. They joined the military for the money, but they didn't think it was fair that they would have to go serve, because that's what they signed up for. And so they became a whole big campaign of how horrible the government was for sending this couple to go over, because what about, you know, the little child? And I thought about this for a moment, is you signed up for the military because you know what the military does. That you sign up knowing that they could call you up. In my own life, I told you, I was this close to signing up for the Air Force. I wanted to be a pilot, and I wanted to fly, and they're like, oh, well, you have to sign up for 14 years. They wanted to sign me up for 14 years. I'm like, that's a long time. And they said, oh, yeah, by the way, as you go through their pilot program, anytime, if you drop out of the top, what is it, if you get less than 90. If you're in that below, you cut that off. He goes, you're still signed up for 14 years, but then you drop out of the pilots program, and we can make you do whatever we want you to do. I'm like, that doesn't sound like a good deal. Right? It was laid out. I'm like, yeah, no, I'm not going to sign that paper. Right? Because there's a cost. The scripture says, look, a soldier doesn't get himself involved in the affairs of this world because duty might call. There's a cost to serving. And he brings us over to the Christian life. As we say, Lord, I will follow you, there is a cost. Lord, we need to be prepared to serve you, to do what you want us to do. But we find so many people are just so busy that they're not ready for the Lord. Second thing, there's no room. This is kind of the idea of busyness, but I want to bring this just a little bit further. Take a look in Luke chapter 2. It says, so it was while they were there, the days were completed for her to be delivered, right? This is Mary and Joseph who come down to Bethlehem. And she's sort of in Ellison state, right? Any moment now, it could happen. They get in there, and it's time for her to be delivered. And she brought forth her firstborn son, wrapped him in swaddling clothes, and laid him where? In a manger. They were in the barn. Because there is no room for them in the inn. Now, because of the census, and everyone had to go return, Bethlehem was not a big city, and all of a sudden all of the families had to come here. And typically, you didn't want to stay at necessarily the inns, because they were kind of rough, but they were all filled up. Typically, you would stay with family. But imagine all the important people got the best beds. Literally, there was nowhere else. And you ponder that for a moment because, you know, if a lady showed up at our house, she goes, look, I'm pregnant and I'm having this baby right now. I don't think I'd say there's the barn. But there is just no room. And in here, I can't help how many people just don't have room in their life for God. They just don't have room. Sometimes intellectually, I thought it was interesting. I was reading a quote by Stephen Hawking. He's an astrophysicist, brilliant. He's passed away now. But it's interesting, I read a comment and he goes, I have no need for God. He goes, I can explain everything in the universe by science. He goes, I'm not against the idea of God. He goes, I just don't need him. Whoa. Right? Here's a man who did, as brilliant, who understood things that I can't even pronounce. Just didn't have room for Jesus. Now, these are the people who tend to, maybe I'll accept the Lord later on. We see this in Christians' lives too. Now, all of a sudden they fill things in their life. Luke tells us the parable of the sower. A sower went out and threw out the seed. And we're told later on that the seed is the word of God and where it grows. And some fell on the road, right? It was hard and it was snatched away. You didn't have anything. Some fell on some shallow ground and it sprouted up for a little while and it withered away. The third soil is what I want to talk about this morning, right? Someone who has no room. Luke 8:14 says, now the ones that fell among the thorns, those are who, when they have heard, go out and are choked by the cares and riches and pleasures of life and bring no fruit to maturity. Folks, how many Christians do you know, and maybe you wrestle with this in your life, that there are cares and worries that are just choking out the joy of the Lord in your life? There are activities and financial things that are taking all your attention, that you have no room. This is the idea, of a garden that's so filled up with all the weeds. There's no room for the good stuff. When we were down in Pennsylvania, one of the places we love to go to, one of my favorite places, is Shady Maples. I don't know if you've ever been to Shady Maples. This is in Lancaster. I don't know the exact town. But it's an Amish buffet. It's like the size of Walmart, except it's all Amish food. It is great. Sit there with my family, and I tell them, I have this speech before we get there. So we sit down to eat at the buffet. Right? Don't do potatoes. Don't do pasta. No salad, right? It's all a waste, right? It's all fillers, right? I say, go get the meat. Go get the meat. Get the good stuff. They don't listen. I won't point fingers, but it's been seen someone have a plate full of macaroni and cheese. I don't judge. But I'm like, no, where's the, right? Don't fill up on all the empty stuff. Don't fill up on the cheap stuff. Go get the good stuff. You can tell it's almost lunchtime. All right, I'm getting hungry. Christians, we get so full in our lives with so many different things that are empty at the end of the day. Right now, my Bible reading, going through the book of Ecclesiastes, and it says, vanities, vanities, it's all vanity. All these things in this world is empty. And so many people are being filled with empty things that finally they have no room for the good stuff. I remember when Lauren was real, real little, and my wife left me in charge. And she left the home, and I found out that if you give her those little fish, the goldfish, right? You know, I'm talking about the cheesy things, not the swimmy things. The little cheesy things. If you give her one of those, she's quiet. So all afternoon, I was, give her don't judge. You did the same thing. So I gave her all that. And then my wife came home, and it was time for supper. And all of a sudden, she wasn't hungry. And she's like, why is she hungry? I'm like, I don't know. And she picked up they come with like little milk jugs. And they're like half empty. And she's like, where'd all those go? Well, I fed it to her, right? She goes, no, don't fill her up on, right? Don't fill her up with the junk. She won't have room for the good stuff. All that to say this, as Christians, we see this in the world today. That people are so busy. They have no room for Jesus in their life. They have no room for the good stuff. Elsewhere in Luke, Jesus tells a parable. He said to another, said, follow me. But he said, Lord, let me first go and bury my father. Jesus said to him, let the dead bury their own dead. But you go and preach the kingdom of God. And another said, Lord, I will follow you, but first let me go bid farewell to those who are in my house. And Jesus said to him, no one having put his hand to the plow and looking back is fit for the kingdom of God. These are ones who came to Jesus and says, look, I wanted to follow you, but I have all this other stuff. I have all this other stuff. Jesus says, follow me. Remember when Peter and Andrew were on the seaside and James and John later on, he said, follow me. And the Bible says what? They left their nets and followed him. You know, so many people in this life are packed full of so many things. You know, they look like me at Walmart because I go in and I don't have a bag. So I'm leaving and I'm walking out Walmart carrying things because I don't want to pay the 50 cents for a bag. So I'm walking out carrying out arms full of stuff. I have no room for anything. Some people weren't ready for the Lord because they just had no room. Lastly, we have people who just plainly reject the Lord. There are people that just don't want Jesus. They don't want church. They don't want prayer. They want nothing to do with any of this. We see this in the Christmas story in Matthew chapter 2. It says, then Herod, when he saw that he was deceived by the wise men, we talked about this last week, right? That the wise men, the magi, came, said, where's Jesus? And he says, oh, in Bethlehem. And he says, oh, when you guys get down there, come back and let us know where he is so I may worship him. No, Herod wanted to kill him. And when he found out the wise men weren't coming back, he was exceedingly angry, and he sent forth and put to death all the male children who were in Bethlehem and all his district for 2 years and under, according to the time which he had determined for the wise men. That in here, the utter rejection of Jesus led him to try to wipe him out. To do that, he was willing to sacrifice all the babies in Bethlehem, hoping that he would take Jesus out. It's interesting, on Facebook, you can post so many different things on there, but man, you post Jesus and watch out. We live in a society where Jesus came into his own received him not. We live in a society that's willing to reject Jesus outright. Jesus says this, and this is the commendation, that light has come into the world, and men love darkness rather than light, for their deeds are evil. I never would have thought within my lifetime the amount of evil that is openly displayed. And then you're the crazy one for saying it's wrong. Right? I mean, I can't be the only one. Some of you, right? I mean, it's kind of shocking. Or it's even worse, is maybe it's not shocking anymore. We were flipping through the channels the other day, and it was, I don't know, it was like 7 o'clock, and I don't know what the show was on, and we're just flipping through, and all of a sudden the language, it was just like, whoa, what if I, right? It was like, man, this is, it's 7 o'clock, and, you know, we don't watch regular network TV. Because of that, I was just shocked. Here it is, 7 o'clock, and they're allowed to say what they're saying. You know, they used to be like, what, after 9 o'clock or something like that. I remember when my daughter was younger, and we'd watch Little House on the Prairie. And I don't know what channel it was. But we had to actually, Little House on the Prairie, you figure people who are watching Little House on the Prairie want to watch Little House on the Prairie because it's a wholesome little show. We would have to turn it during the commercials. Because the commercials were so bad. And we live in a society that is rejecting God left and right. We see this even within churches. It's for the time will come when they will not endure sound doctrine, but according to their own desires, because they have itching ears, they will heap for themselves teachers, and they will turn their ears away from the truth and turn aside to fables. Even within the church, people do not want truth. There's conversations I've had with pastors. I remember years ago we were talking when gay marriage was on the docket, and they were talking about, and a pastor came out and said, he goes, you know, I know what the Bible says, but I cannot preach that from my pulpit. And I was just taken aback. We had the same conversation talking about the idea of abortion. He goes, I know abortion is wrong, but I cannot say that from my pulpit because they will fire me. And I was just, maybe I'm really bad at this. I don't see my job as telling you what you want to hear. I believe my job is to tell you what the Bible says. And it will offend. It does step on toes. Trust me, I know. I have to study it all week. God, I got black and blue toes from dealing with God's word, and it works on my life. before I even give it out anywhere else. We are called to watch and wait and be ready. The same Jesus who came, he is coming again. Are we ready? Are we like that first century Jews where we were too busy or we had no room or rejecting him outright? Folks, he is coming. Are we ready? The Bible tells us no one knows the day or the hour. We do not know. And God does that on purpose. If God said he's going to show up in 2026, you know what? We would do nothing until December, right? 31st, right? My wife leaves the house. The first question I have is, when are you coming home? Because I got to know how long I have until I have to clean up my mess. Let me just end with this. The last book of the Bible, book of Revelation. Jesus is talking to various churches. And we come to this passage. Behold, I stand at the door and knock. If anyone hears my voice and opens the door, I will come into him and dine with him and he with me. Now, oftentimes this is used as a verse to witness to the unsaved. Right? We tell the person that God's knocking on your heart, will you let him in? And while that goes along with the spirit of the text, right? Obviously that's a way to correctly use the Bible out of context. But the context of this is he's talking to not the unsaved, he's talking to the church. He's talking to the Christian. Now we started off saying, you know, you ever had company come over and you got everything ready and you're waiting. And you're waiting and waiting. Imagine your guest shows up and knocks at the door and you don't answer it. You leave him hanging out there. Jesus is saying that he is standing outside the door of the church. First of all, what's he doing outside? He's standing on the door of the Christian's heart. Once again, why is he on the outside? Then he says, will you let me in? What will your answer be? Lord, I'm too busy. I'll get to you later. Is that I got no room? Or is it just, Lord, go away? What will we do? The prophets prophesied of the coming Messiah. And he came and they missed it for the same reasons that we are in danger of doing today. Folks, be ready for the Lord's return. Be busy doing what he wants you to do. Accept him. Follow him. Dare I say, let him in? Let's pray. Our Heavenly Father, Lord, we thank you for your word. And this Christmas season, we talk about your coming. And Lord, you are coming again. Lord, so many people missed it for being busy and having no room and rejecting you. Lord, I pray today, help us to yield to you, Lord. Have your way in our life. That, Lord, we accept you today to live for you today. Let's put up heart all these things. Because, Lord, you have come. And let us make room, Lord. We ask this in your name. Amen.